Tonight we're going to look at a topic called godliness. We don't talk much about this, but this characteristic or this virtue is pretty critical in our Christian walk of life. We as Christians have to display godliness in all aspects of our lives. And with that, who can give me a definition of what godliness is?
I have this and then a scripture. Godliness is being devoted to God, life lived, a life of reverence and respect for God, obedience to Him, and desire to please Him. And then 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain.
Very good. Anybody else have anything to add? Anybody from Zoom? Tara?
Godliness is characterized by a Godward attitude, and it does things that, and the person does things that are pleasing to God.
Exactly. Very good. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, the person makes sure.
So, it was just conforming to characteristics of God and thoughts and feelings that I was reading in one of my apps that I have, and it was, in order to be godly, you should be enthusiastic. And the word enthusiasm in the Greek means in, and Dios means God, so it's be in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can think of it that way, you know, show enthusiasm when you're out and about, because this is what you're living. So I thought that was kind of interesting that that's a new term of enthusiasm.
Yeah, that is. You know, and that's the way Christians should act. Be enthusiastic by being on God's side. I found this definition. Godliness is a way of life characterized by devotion and dedication to God, recognizing His power and holiness. So when we look towards God, we are dedicated to Him, we are devoted to Him. And another way of saying that, we are committed as Christians to worship and serve Him to the best of our ability. And it goes on to say, a deep sense of reverence and living a way that honors and reflects God's character. We have to display God's image to others in our way of life, in all that we do, 24/7. Not just in front of brothers and sisters in Christ, but in front of all people. And this came out of the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. So when we see godliness, it is a reverence for God and a life of holiness in this world. How do we live that? How does a Christian live that? Bob?
In Psalms 112, it says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. And in verse 7, his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Exactly. We have to live His commandments. We have to diligently serve Him in every aspect of our life. In the New Testament, reveals it's a reverent awareness of God's sovereignty over every aspect of life. And the determination to honor Him in one's conduct. We as Christians have a responsibility if we are godliness, if we are godly people, to honor God in every aspect of our lives, in all of our conduct. Do we do that all the time? No, we fall short.
Right.
We allow Satan to enter our lives and pull us away. We allow the world and all those things in the world to draw us away. Godliness depends on knowing God's revealed truth. Paul shared that with Titus in Titus 1 and 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Hold on a second here. For the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. So Paul recognizes God's truth. And where do we get that truth?
In his word.
That it's important for us to tailor our lives so that we can live a life that honors God in everything we do. In John chapter 9:31, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Those who are committed to obeying God are godly, and they reflect godliness in their lives. It's so important that we look at what the Holy Spirit shared with us in not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament about godly people and how they conducted their lives and how we should conduct our lives while we dwell on this earth. So with that, let's share some verses in the Bible concerning godliness and explain the verses. Who would like to start? Okay, great.
So Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14.
Okay, hold on a second. I think you stole my notes. Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, anyway.
Why don't you read that?
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we have lived soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord, of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So he says denying ungodliness. So that's the opposite of godliness. And we have an idea in our head what ungodliness is. So the opposite of that is godliness. And then he tells that you should live soberly, righteously, godly, looking for the hope and appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and reminding them that he might redeem us from every lawless deed.
Exactly. So when Paul wrote to Titus, he tells them, make sure you deny all ungodliness, but live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present moment. We have a short life period, anywhere from 0 to, hopefully in my case, 100. However, we as Christians have only a short time in our lives to show people in the world We're Christ-like. We're godly people. We have godliness as a virtue in our characteristics. And Paul goes on to remind them about Jesus Christ, who is glorified, and he gave himself up to every, he gave himself up for everyone to purify them, to have their sins forgiven. And that's an excellent verse on godliness. Who has another verse?
Since I left my things at home, I will read one I found on my phone.
Sure, yeah.
It says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life of the time.
Very good verse. It's up to us to train. And how do we train?
Study.
We discipline our lives. We live our lives according to the way God has instructed us to do. Very good, Don. Anybody else? Christian?
I have 2 Peter 1. And it starts at 5, but I had 8 through 11. Let's see. So I'll start at 5.
Go ahead.
Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellent knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In my Bible note, I just have that it's discipline. It's kind of like spiritual training. You just have to do it, but it's just the benefits of growing in godliness, especially 5 through 8. You know, you are diligent in reading the Bible. You're diligent in moral excellence, more knowledge, which leads to self-control, which, you know, that leads to perseverance, because the more you know, you have to fight for it because you're getting it at all angles. And if you don't, and then at some point it leads to you being godly.
Godly, absolutely. In fact, when you synthesize all those characteristics, we see that's the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it's all gels together in our lives. And godliness is part of it. Anybody else have another verse?
I had the same as Kristen, except that I started in verse 3, because it says, seeing that his divine power, excuse me, oh, somebody else is going to have to read it, but it talks about godliness in verse 3 as well as the rest of the chapter.
Uh-huh, very good. And anybody else? I have one more. I found. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul shares with Timothy, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. So you wonder what that mystery is. So he goes on to say, he who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So who is Paul talking about?
Jesus.
Exactly, Jesus. He is the mystery of godliness. And as we go through our lives here on earth, we have to represent Jesus. And by being godly as Jesus was, discipline our lives, finding instruction in the Bible, and growing in our spiritual growth, we will exhibit that. Bill?
And I was going to bring this verse up, but I didn't quite know how to do it. The first part says, great is the mystery, but then it tells things about Jesus' life. Well, his life, we know he was godly. So where is the mystery?
The mystery of godliness is Jesus Christ. His life, and nobody accepted him. The Jews didn't accept him when he was here. Even his apostles questioned him. Just go back to Acts chapter 1. We see in the first part of that chapter, when Jesus appeared to the 11, what did they say to him? Are you here to establish the kingdom? We're ready. We're ready to fight. They totally missed the point. And Jesus says, you don't know the times or anything, but God will reveal them to you. And he told them, you are going to go out and be my witness to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the other part, most of the world. The mystery is Jesus Christ. And a lot of people didn't accept it. When you look at the history, he was just another teacher. But yet, when you look at what Scripture foretold about him, it was fulfilled in Jesus. We could go through about 67 different prophecies about Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled all of them from the Old Testament. That's another study. We don't have time to go into tonight. But when Jesus was here, they weren't looking for a spiritual kingdom. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. They wanted to get out of the control of the government. And they thought, this Messiah will do that. Even the apostles thought that. So we have to be on our guard not to allow Satan to pull us away into the world. Be committed to the Lord, obedient to his word, and put that into action. Anybody else have any verses to share? Carol? And then,
yeah, 2 Timothy 3:5, talking about the Pharisees holding to a form of godliness, although they deny its power, avoid such men as these.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to understand godliness and to put it in your life, is because we shouldn't have anything to do with people who pretend to be godly.
And all those who are ungodly, absolutely. Bob?
Yeah, in answer to Bill, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 beginning, now to him, that's God, who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now was manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen.
Very good. That just suffice. The mystery of godliness is Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Andrew?
Well, Carol took one that I was talking about.
She took one.
Which was that 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. But I have another one written down here, which is pulling for the Old Testament here, Proverbs 16:8, where it just says there that better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. And what that's talking about here is, you know, this highlights that a life of righteousness, a life of godliness, even if you have limited in wealth, limited in material things, is so much more valuable than that life that you live with great riches, but you're living a sinful life.
That is very true. It's where we put our emphasis in our lives. We could have material things. We could own things. But they're just things. The things we really need are our spiritual account built up. And how do we do that? Again, by being faithful. Putting these characteristics of a Christian into action in all that we do. Very good comments. Anybody else? Anybody on Zoom?
I have 1 Timothy 4 and 8. For bodily discipline is only a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise of the present life and also for the life to come.
Very good, Anne. That's an excellent verse. So when we focus on our Christian way of life, godliness is an integral part of our values, of our characteristic as a Christian, and the way of life that God expects from you and I. And it's something that we as Christians should emulate all times. Very good. Anybody else? Dean?
Yeah, I'm always looking for a fight. I'm over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it's talking about men and women in the church. And I'll go ahead and start in verse 8 just so that it deals with the men. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, nor gold, nor pearls, nor costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So, I'm just kidding about picking a fight, but it's an example of where do you put your priorities?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it uses women, I guess probably because they care more about their appearance than we do, but not to pride themselves with, look at me, but to profess that godliness with their good works.
Exactly. Godliness is a characteristic that all of us should strive for. And the examples that we shared tonight with some of these verses should help us focus on our godliness. So with that, let's move on. So provide an example of someone who exhibited godliness in the Old Testament. Who would like to start? Dean?
I'm gonna go with the obvious one first, since everybody else gets them. I'm going to turn over to Job chapter 1, because I'm a cheater. But I was adjusting my insulin, so I wasn't quite prepared. Job chapter 1 and verse 8. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So it doesn't use the word godliness, but it describes godliness.
Exactly. Yeah, Job is an excellent example. Anybody else?
I had Joshua.
Go ahead, Ivy, first and then Faith.
I had Joshua, but my verse, it doesn't say godliness in it. It says, for Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So Joshua was a great example in believing God, and God was very pleased with him because he believed God could do what he did.
Exactly. He was committed to serve God to the best of his ability. Very good. Faith?
I looked at Hannah in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, she lends, the word is lend in the Bible. I didn't realize that. Samuel to the Lord. And she has her prayer. And when you read her prayer, you know, she's full of godliness. It's long.
But yeah, she's very humble.
Yeah.
And very devoted to God. And that's an example for us to follow. The way we, our attitude towards praying in such a way to God that we show that we're humble and his servant. Carol, again.
Well, yeah. When David, King David, was on the run before he was King David, when after he was anointed, he went to Nabal and asked for food for his men because they kept the marauders away, and Nabal said no, but Abigail, his wife, behind her husband's back, because she knew he would frown on it, did the godly thing, took the food out to David and his men, and I think that's an example of godliness.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I had 2 Samuel 22, 29 to 31. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness, for by you I can run upon a truth. For my God, I can leap over the wall, over the wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. So David displays godliness in his life. He has a humble heart, and he sees God. He humbly accepts God's plan. That's an instruction for you and I. Do we accept God's plan? David, a humble heart will be exalted. Even though we know David sinned, he did a lot of things that was contrary to God's law. But he still humbled himself before the Lord. He was a godly person. And his godliness in his heart, he received forgiveness. That's the attitude of someone who is humble in God's sight, who puts God first, who lives a godly life. Anybody else have a character in the Old Testament? Bill?
Esther. When Mordecai learned what was going to happen to their people, he told Esther she needed to go before the king. And she knew that could be the end of her life. But she was willing to do it because Mordecai said so. It was the godly thing she had to do. And if she died, she would die.
Yeah. That's a good example.
I also think that she showed godliness in when he chose her from among all of the women. Her choices of what she did was all in a godly manner, which is why she was chosen by the king originally.
Sure, and absolutely. Want to continue, Greeks?
Yeah. Daniel and his three friends, they refused the king's dainties.
because they didn't want to destroy their purity before God. And God favored them.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised them up.
So what does that teach us?
Do the right thing.
All the time. No matter what the cost is. That's a very good point. That's how godly people in the Old Testament practice their faith. They put God first, no matter what the cost is. Bill?
At the very beginning, almost the first word you read was a reverence towards God.
Uh-huh.
Our attitude is an attitude of reverence towards God in our lives. That goes hand in hand with doing everything to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
That will be godliness. It has to be our attitude from the heart, not just our chosen actions.
It has to come from within. And you're right. We discussed how we are made up. We have a free will and an intellect. God has given us this, and we have a moral compass. We have to use them in such a way to glorify God in everything we do. I know the world and everything around us. I know it affects me. I see all this hate, all this crime, all this bickering. It affects you. However, this is only temporary. We have something that is even better. And that is the heavenly home with God and Jesus. That's what we have to look for. And that's why we as Christians should focus on being godliness. We should be godly people in every aspect of our lives. I know it's a struggle at times. I know I struggle with it. However, our attitude and what we do as Christians should reflect Christ in everything we do. What about an example in the New Testament? Who displays godliness to us or to you in the New Testament?
Stephen was an excellent example.
He was. We talked about that Sunday evening, about how he use scripture to combat the council. And at the end of his life, he asked the Lord to forgive him. That's, to me, that's really a good example. Anybody else? Kirsten.
I had Paul.
Paul?
He just in acts of dramatic conversion, committing his life to Christ. The letters to his churches,
uh-huh.
basically roadmaps to a godly life, which also he touched the lives of Lydia, making her being baptized, and then showing basically the generosity to him and his company of people, and just the way that she lived, because she passed it on to her family, and they just started living a godly life.
Very good. Bill?
Cornelius.
Cornelius is another example.
He was a Gentile and outside of the faith. And God told Peter, go and save this man and his household.
And what did Peter do at first? Question.
What did I do about that?
You know? Very good. He was God-fearing, Cornelius, and he respected God. A lot of people don't in this world today. And you and I are supposed to be leading those individuals. We're supposed to be the light to bring them to Christ. We may not do it in our lifetime, but we may spark something in them, and later on, something may click and they turn their lives over to God. And I have 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul shares with saints at Corinth. He says, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that is in holiness, in godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially towards you." Again, Paul reveals to the saints in Corinth that him and his companions were showing holiness and godly sincerity. And he explains to Timothy, for those who are in authority, like kings, and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Again, something we as Christians are supposed to strive for, being godly people. Anybody on Zoom have anything to share about a person in the New Testament that displays godliness? Bob and then Carol.
The Good Samaritan fits that example in Luke chapter 10, verse 30.
That's a very good example. And a priest and a Levite passed that individual by. And they were supposed to be religious type people. They're supposed to know the law, but the Samaritan, who had nothing to do with the Jews, he showed godliness. He showed kindness, compassion. Very good. Carol?
Well, Dorcas, I'll call Tabitha also, when she died, all of the women were talking about all of the good works that she had done while she was alive, all of the things that she had done. And we should all be so.
And that's recorded for you and I. And that's amazing to be remembered throughout time by being a godly person. Eileen?
I had the widow because she gave all she had. It says in Mark 12, 43 and 44, if I can read it. So he called his disciples, meaning Jesus, to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had. Her whole life of it. Because she loved God and she did what was
very good.
It was about money, but it was still, I thought it was godly."
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of examples for us to realize what God shared with us in the Bible. And it helps us on our journey to become better in godliness in our lives. And by building up our character, by increasing in these virtues, we will display Jesus to all around us, which is the next question I'd like to bring up. How do Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude through godliness? What did Jesus do when he was here? Carol?
Well, my answer is a little different. We have a verse that talks about the refiner of gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
And the refiner's job is to take the impurities out of the gold or silver. And when it's ready, he can see his own reflection. And so our purpose is to be like the refiner, to take those impurities out of our life so that we might see Jesus or God instead of our own reflection.
Good. Very good. Anybody else?
Well, the answer part of your question, why was he here? He was here to seek out those that didn't believe in him and those that were wayward and those that were, sick, tattered. for on the end of the rope, I guess you could say. And he was perfect, but he doesn't expect us to be perfect. And we have to remember that living a godly life doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It just means that you should commit yourself to seeking him and aligning your life to his by helping those that you can help. You know, not shunning those that are, you know, may look scary on the outside, but just need somebody to just have a smile or a kind word or a helping hand. That's what he wants to see. He wants to know what's in your heart. I mean, he already does, but he wants your heart to be big. That's what is going to be pleasing to him.
He wants you to display your heart to others and share that. In fact, when Jesus was here, he demonstrated a reverence and a deep, active relationship with God. Look at his prayers. Jesus prayed to God. He asked for strength. He asked for help. And next week you're going to look at what prayer is. And it's pretty important to realize it's the way we communicate to our Heavenly Father. Jesus did it. He used prayer to communicate to God and ask for help. We, as his children, should do the same in our lives. We should emulate Jesus' attitude by being humble, submissive, and obedient to God's will. We have to be committed as a Christian, 100%, in everything we do, to the best of our ability. Godliness plays an integral part of that role in our lives, which should show a love for God's people. We talked about love the first class, first characteristic, how we love. And it's important when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, how everything is integrated into one big bundle. We divided this up. I divided this up to show you the different parts of the virtues or the characteristics we have. But we use them all as one. And actively pursue holiness in everything we do. We studied Jesus' life in the Gospels many times. And when you look at his life, a snapshot of what the Gospel writers had shared with us, we see Jesus lived a godly life. And he respected God. He showed him honor and showed him glory in everything he did. And when he was communicating with people about his word, his way of life, a lot of people rejected him. In fact, it's interesting. It reminds me of the story where Peter seen Jesus when he was on the boat in the Galilean Sea. He said, "I'm coming to you." He jumps in, starts walking. And then realizes, wait a minute, what am I doing? He said, he didn't have enough faith. And we see that throughout Peter's life. But yet, he turned his way back. He repented. Even when he denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me 3 times. Now, there's no way. And when it happened, he felt so guilty. He didn't have godliness in his life there. He remembered. And when he died, He told those people who were going to kill him, don't crucify me the same way Jesus did. You did Jesus. Hang me upside down on the cross. He said, I'm not like the Savior. Jesus Christ is. So when we reflect a Christ-like attitude, we should be humble. We should be obedient and submit to God's plan. And by doing it, you got to read the Bible. Not only read it, but put into action what God wants you to do. Sometimes it's hard in this world, but yet we as Christians should do it. Okay, well, that brings me to the hardest question we have. And this was difficult for me too. How do you grow in godliness and seek opportunities to demonstrate godliness to others? Carol?
Well, I looked at the when they're talking about the thief, how does the thief become not a thief? But what is required of him? And it's not that he just quits stealing, it's that he replaces that stealing with work so that he might take care of others who are in need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think also sometimes we forget that he calls us children and we take baby steps. And when children are learning to walk, they fall a lot. But most of the time, that spirit that they have, all it takes is a wiggle or a smile or a grin or whatever, and they're right back at it again. So not being discouraged when you're trying to implement what you see that God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Anybody else? Andrew?
I think when it comes to growth and godliness, it starts off internally.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily show, like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, I can show a form of godliness. I can easily, show up to services, sing my praises, and even when I'm out in the world, I can easily put on a face of godliness. But what is my heart saying?
You have to live it.
God knows your heart. So it starts internally.
Yeah.
To grow in godliness, it starts eternally. And every time we repent, not only is it, especially when it comes to baptism, not only are you showing a physical change there, but internally you should be changing too.
Mm-hmm.
It is, that's why when it's time for you to be baptized, you'll know when it's the right time. But you need to make sure that when you do it, that you're not doing it just because your parents want you to do it, just because the congregation wants you to do it. You need to make sure that you're doing it because
you're doing it because you yourself want to be right with God.
Yes.
Exactly. Very good. Dean?
Well, one of the verses I wrote down was just a continuation over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 7, and it's just the second part of verse 7, it says, exercise yourself towards godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. It's equating it to bodily exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those of us who are in as poor a shape as I'm in, understand how hard it is to get motivated to get into better shape. The Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body daily.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the short and simple answer is practice, practice, practice. So that's how I grow in godliness and how I seek opportunities to show the world is honestly in how I handle my failures.
That's a good point.
I think we learn more about a person's character in how they handle their setbacks in life, how they own up to their shortcomings in life, and how they strive to better those shortcomings. I think that's how we show the world our, I can tell the world all about my godliness, but that doesn't mean anything if I'm not living.
You have to put it into action. Absolutely.
You have to put it into action. And it hasn't, it isn't, it's just like that woman who was dressing to be seen. It's not about doing it to be seen. It's about doing all these things because they're the right things to do, whether anybody's watching or not, and realizing that somebody's always watching.
Exactly. Faith, do you have a comment? Okay. When we grow in godliness, godliness represents a commitment to following God. We are committed to do what God says. We put our actions into our Christian way of life by being selfless and obedient and putting away our old ways of life. It's about striving to be like God in our actions, desiring to be like Him in character, conduct, and attitude. Godliness is a way of life that involves diligent pursuit of God, rigorous training, and growing discipline. We have to work at it, as Dean had pointed out. You make a mistake, you learn from those mistakes, and you build upon it, and you grow in there. And it includes spending time in God's Word, prayer, fellowshipping, and worship. We're here to worship God, to learn more of what He says. And by sharing what we learn with each other, we encourage each other to be built up, to grow. Live a life reflecting Christ's character. One, be an example. Look what Jesus did when He was here. He showed people how to live godly. Be humble. Practice humility and avoid arrogance, recognizing that your strength comes from God, not from you, not from within. We are totally dependent on God. And once you realize that, you will put it first. That's your priority. To be Christ-like, strive to embody Christ's love, compassion, and sacrifice in your interactions with others. Put others ahead of yourself. Serve others and the church. Do what you can with your time, with your money, to help others, and also the church. Show God's love through actions and words. Not just speak it, but do it. Be a good listener. Pay attention to others and try to understand their needs and concerns. Are we good listeners? Sometimes. But put that individual ahead of yourself and listen to what that individual is saying and help them because they need it. That's why they're coming to you. Speak words of encouragement and use your words to uplift and build up others, offering words of affirmation and support. Be supportive. Young individuals, young Christians, the older Christians, to your spouses, to your children. Build those individuals up. Don't knock them down. Don't destroy them. but lift them up. Be patient and kind. Again, those are two characteristics that we're going to cover later on. Patience and kindness. Practice that with your interactions with others, even when it's difficult. And finally, seek God's guidance and grow in your faith. And when people see you as a Christian doing all these things, they're going to ask you, where did you get this godliness? God didn't give us this godliness. You worked on it. Read and study the Bible regularly. Pray for others. More important, seek God's wisdom and ask Him for guidance. That's what godliness is all about. And that's something that we as Christians should increase in our daily walk as a Christian. Thank you very much for your responses and questions and comments. It helps me grow in my godliness, and I hope this class will assist you as you grow in your godliness. Are there any other questions or comments? Kara?
Yeah, I think sometimes we're a little hard on ourselves because I didn't do this and I didn't do that, and I catch myself, you know, doing that. But I think we also need to remember to say, thank you, God, that I was able to help this person, or thank you, God, that I was able to get out of myself and do this. Recognize that you are His handiwork, and by dwelling on the positive, I think you won't feel like you're drifting away from God.
Very good point. Anybody else? Anybody from Zoom? Well, again, thank you so very much for your kindness.